Welcome to the Wednesday edition of your Daily Nerd Brief. I am Troy Stegner of Talk Nerdy to Me, and I'm going to give you all the nerdy news that's worth knowing. Let's start off with Graham McTavish. You probably know him from, if you're a woman, you probably watched Outlander and saw him. If not, you probably saw him on Preacher. He's a Saint of All Killers. He's also going to be in the Netflix series Lucifer. He's going to be playing a preacher who is hell-bent on saving his congregation from the devil. His name will be Father Kenley. They've also cast, if you didn't know, Inbar Lavi from Imposters to be Eve. So we're going to get Eve in season 4 also. Fox unceremoniously canceled Lucifer a while back, mostly because they didn't have a ownership stake in it. They're starting to cut back on that stuff with the Disney acquisition. Netflix was quick to pick it up. So Netflix will be producing season 4 of Lucifer, which is good. A lot of people were very surprised when it got canceled. At the end of last season, we saw that Lucifer revealed himself to his love interest, Detective Chloe, there on the show. So now we get to see how she's going to respond to that. He's been telling her he's the devil for the whole time. Now maybe she'll believe him. Okay, Dora the Explorer. We talked about Eva Longoria being cast yesterday. Well, we have another casting choice here. Michael Pena. You probably saw him in Ant-Man. He was the guy who had the business that told the long, drawn-out stories. Michael Pena will be playing... who will he be playing? He will be in Dora the Explorer. Wow, I'm losing it here. Okay, anyway, he will be in the movie. And yes, it's going to be a movie, live action. They've already cast, like I said, Eva Longoria and Isabel Moner. Now they have Michael Pena and Dora the Explorer live action movie. Another live action movie I didn't think I would ever see. DC's Doom Patrol. They're doing it live action, like I said. They have cast none other than Brendan Fraser to be the voice of Robot Man. Robot Man, if you didn't know, is one of the members of Doom Patrol who's been in every iteration of Doom Patrol. He's the one thing that's been constant. He is. He was Cliff Steele when he was alive. He was a race car driver. He had a really bad accident at the Indy 500. This doctor pulled his brain out. This evil doctor, of course, Niles Calder, if I remember correctly, pulled his brain out and put it in this huge, this hulking, strong robot body. And he has been suffering from depression ever since then. Typically, Doom Patrol is a lot of the outcast-type superheroes. That they are outcast due to their power. They don't like the limelight a lot because of that. But now we're bringing them in with Titans, Teen Titans. They're going to, I think, episode 5. Going to have a little introduction to Doom Patrol there before Doom Patrol gets their own series. So we will get to see them in Titans episode 5. I don't know if they've got the storyline yet. The original group was Robot Man, Negative Man, Elastigirl, and Crazy Jane. Let's see. But the membership has changed over the years depending on who's writing them. We will see. It's going to get 13 episodes. I would prefer they use the original lineup. That was my favorite. But Doom Patrol at least has Brendan Fraser, who I love him as an actor. Speaking of actors, Natalie Portman is going to be playing dual roles in her upcoming movie about Dear Abby and Ann Landers. You young kids might not know that, who they are, but they were self-help columnists, really popular when I was growing up and prior to that. They were twin sisters. Dear Abby and Ann Landers, a lot of people don't know, were twin sisters. They were brought up doing the exact same thing. Their parents were really neurotic about that. They even dressed them the same and kind of creepy. But they grew up to both have their own their own self-help article sections in different papers until one of them decided to kind of do her own thing with the column, and then they got really competitive. They were competitive professionally, but you know, they still had that family love with each other. There's no date for this. Like I said, they just announced that Natalie Portman will be playing both roles, twin sister, so it makes sense. iZombie is coming back for its fifth and final season. They are bringing in a big name. I wouldn't say a big name actor, but he's a big name. You'll know who I'm talking about. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will be in the fifth season. He's one of the city councilors, I believe, that stayed in the city after they erected the wall, when they found out about all how many zombies are actually in Seattle. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he has acted a little before. I mean, he played himself in Airplane. I don't know how big of a stretch that was, but also in Game of Death, he was cast with Bruce Lee. He was one of the guys Bruce Lee had to whoop to get to the big boss, and of course he did. iZombie, fifth season, coming back sometime in 2019. There's no definitive date. It's been good so far. You have time to catch up before the season five comes out. It's really good, based on a comic book. Check it out. Okay, Rick and Morty fans. One of the most popular characters coming out of Rick and Morty has been Pickle Rick. So popular, in fact, that he's going to get his own title from Oni Press in November. You'll get to see Rick and Morty Presents Pickle Rick. Wow. Yeah, it's I'm going to read at least the first one to give it a chance to see if it's as good as the rest of the series. Yeah, November, Pickle Rick from Oni Press. How many people here remember Galaxy Quest, the movie with Tim Allen? Raise your hands. Yeah. Great movie. They've been trying to make it a TV series forever. It seems like ever since the movie came out, they've been trying to make a series. It looks like that is still the plan. I guess we're a little closer now. They just didn't want it to be a reboot for the sake of a reboot. I'm guessing from what I'm reading that they're going to bring in a new cast, but there will be cameos from the old cast. I guess those aliens kind of stay around and are introduced to the new cast of Galaxy Quest. Like I said, still in the works. No date, no casting. Just that they want everybody to know that, hey, we're still working on this. Walking Dead fans, season 9 coming up. A lot of changes I've been telling you about going to happen in season 9. You know, Lauren Cohen and Andrew Lincoln leaving the series. Now we're finding out that Daryl is going to get a couple new weapons because the crossbow, it kind of sucks for up close combat. And you can't reload it very quickly. So the crossbow is kind of a one shot and done. Then you need to drop it and go hand to hand. They're giving Daryl some custom made Bowie knives, the saw edged Bowie knives that he, with the little ring on them so he can spin them around his finger and then change, you know, direction of how he's going to be stabbing. So Daryl's going to be a little more deadly up close. Oh, I'm sorry, it's coming back October 7th, not 2019. So we'll get to see that here in October, Daryl with his new weapons. Because the crossbow, I never understood how that was a viable weapon when you're fighting up close and zombie hordes and so yeah, they finally got smart. The Punisher in the latest issue of The Punisher, he kills a major Marvel villain. When I say major, I mean he's a well-known villain. He's not been used a lot lately, and he's been dead before. So, the Punisher, you know, he had the War Machine armor for a while after they thought Rhodey was dead, but then Rhodey came back. They convinced him to take off the armor and give it back, but he still had the taste of going after these higher-powered superheroes rather than just street-level drug dealers. So he puts his eyes on Hydra because the evil Steve Rogers is the one who kind of persuaded him to join Hydra, thinking he was doing the right thing, found out he wasn't, so he's a little upset. He's going after Hydra. He wanted to get Hydra Cap, But he's still in that prison way out in the middle of nowhere, and the Avengers stopped him from busting in and killing Hydra Cap. So he decided he's just going to end Hydra because Hydra is trying to take over. They got a country called Bagalia, they're taking over, and they want to get it into the United Nations. And guess who they picked to lead, be the face of their entry into the United Nations? The Mandarin. Yep. He's given his speech on the floor there to persuade the United Nations to allow them in. And you see it, hear a shot ring out. The Mandarin still has his ring, so he does everything he can to try to stop the bullet. The only thing he's able to do is slow it down. Still hits him dead center forehead. And Mandarin is supposedly dead again. We'll see how long he stays dead. He's not a, they call him a major character, a major villain. I don't call, I would think he's more of a secondary type villain. You haven't seen a lot of him lately. Or Fin Fang Foom. The old Iron Man foes. So yeah, Punisher has never had a problem with killing, but now he's going after higher echelon villains. Uncanny X-Men number one. That's right, they're putting out another Uncanny X-Men. It will be oversized. It's also going to be oversized on the price. It is going to be 72 pages. Like I said, oversized. That's like maybe three normal issues because normally we're 24 or so. Wow. $8 for 72 pages. I guess that's not a bad price when you pay per page. What is going to hurt people's wallets is, in their infinite wisdom, they are making this a weekly. A 10-part weekly epic. I mean, after the first one, they're going to drop back down to $3.99. That's $4 a week for 10 weeks in a row. A lot of people who are on a budget with their comics, they're going to have to make some hard decisions on what they're going to get for those couple months. Why, Marvel? I know you want to put the story out quick, but why do weeklies? Please stop doing weeklies. So yeah, that will be coming out here in November. You will be able to pick up your Uncanny X-Men numero uno. Marvel Knights. I don't know if you guys remember Marvel Knights. That's a lot of people say that's what saved Marvel from total bankruptcy, because back in the late 90s, when they were just selling off all their licenses because they were hurting for money, along comes Joe Quesada with his and Jimmy Palmiotti, if I remember correctly, with their Event Comics. Marvel said, "Hey, can you do this? Do some comics for us?" And what they came up with was non-canon, non-timeline dependent continuity. They didn't care about continuity. They just made a bunch of really good standalone stories under the Marvel Knights imprint. They used some of the less used characters at that time, which was like Black Panther and Daredevil and Punisher. Back then, they didn't get used a lot, and they picked those guys up and made standalone stories from those guys. It did so well, Marvel pulled in Joe Quesada to be like their editor, and that's where he's still working, late 90s until now. Marvel Knights, they're coming back out again. Marvel Knights number one, they're calling it Marvel Knights 20th, because it's the 20th anniversary of Marvel Knights. Number one is going to be about Daredevil. He has gotten amnesia or something, doesn't remember who he is or the fact that he is Daredevil. And he's starting to, throughout the comic, he's starting to remember who he is, but he needs to remember quick because the big bad villain is coming. Veronica Mars. How many people watched Veronica Mars back in the day? Yeah. How about the movie? They kickstarted the move enough money to make Veronica Mars movie, which didn't do very well at the box office. A couple million was all it made. So it was a good series. A lot of people loved it. I think it ran for 3 or 4 years. They are now talking about rebooting that series. Kristen Bell, who currently is working on The Good Place, which is another good TV show if you've not been watching. They want to kick it off as like a short series, kind of like a HBO's True Detective thing with Veronica Mars, which she was a detective, so it makes sense. They are going to be pushing this through Hulu. Hulu. Like I said, all these subscription service places are starting to get their own content that you can only get off of their subscription service. So, cable guys, the writing's on the wall. Cable is dying. It's all gonna go subscription service. You better up your bandwidth so you can watch all these shows. We have a sports crossover with Marvel and NFL. And from what I'm reading, it looks like a pretty good crossover. You got the New York Jets, whose primary color is green. They are going to be using the Hulk throughout the 2018 season. And they're kicking that off with their October 21st game is going to be Hulk versus Thor. And that's because they're playing the Vikings. So they got a little tie-in there. That's kind of a cool little tie-in, you know. Everything's going to be Hulk themed through October. They're going to be playing the Vikings, so it's Hulk versus Thor. They want everybody to green out, wear their green. They are doing this as a multifaceted partnership. And what that means is they're going to be giving away special edition of comics at the game. Game day collectibles like bobbleheads and stuff. These things are, I'm sure, going to hit eBay the very next day for a high price because they're not going to be that easily to get for other people. It looks like the October 21st versus the Vikings, they're going to have a new exclusive 16-page comic written by Fabian Nyshinza, who is co-creator of Deadpool, if you didn't know. He's a longtime Jersey native and a Jets fan, so we won't hold that against him. But that's just one of the cool things they're giving away at these games. The first 15,000 fans will also receive a limited edition bobblehead. So, you know, that's limited to 15,000. That's not real limited. They will have 55,000 limited edition Hulk versus Thor posters to be given out. And a lot of those are probably going to get ruined by being thumbtacked to people's walls and scotch taped. And so that 55,000 number will probably be a lot less than that when people start trying to buy them for collectibles. They're also going to have a Hulk-themed Toyota vehicle that will be on display in the stadium. Okay, yeah, well, I can get behind that. They're going to have on October 14th in celebration of 50th anniversary of Super Bowl III, which is the one the Jets, Joe Namath, you know, guaranteed they would win, and they came out and they whooped the Colts. It's going to be available October 10th through the New York Jets app. So it's a pretty cool team up. I don't see anything about any other teams teaming up with Marvel or DC, but I'm sure if this works out well, that will happen. There's so many other tie-ins they could do. It's just crazy. Infinity Wars number 5. We've told you guys about this. You know that character Requiem, who's trying to collect all the Infinity Stones, is in fact Gamora. She was trying to release her soul from the Soul Stone. Long story how it got in there. It looks like it might have been a ruse by this character Devondra, one of the old Eldritch monster type characters that got trapped in the Soul Stone and just kind of tricked Gamora into helping free her. So, of all people, Loki's recruiting a squad of people to kind of get together and help stop Gamora and Devondra. It's a mix of heroes and villains. Well, because Loki, you know, kind of him and some of these others are kind of in that gray area. They go back and forth between villain and hero. But we're gonna have Ms. Marvel, Ant-Man, looks like Kang the Conqueror, Emma Frost, the Hulk, and Loki. I mean, if that's not a motley crew that you're putting together, the only one that's halfway trustworthy would probably be Ms. Marvel. I mean, the rest of them are either villains or, you know, if that's Scott Lang as Ant-Man, questionable. You know, he did some time. So yeah, Loki's putting together a team to help stop Requiem slash Gamora and this new creature, I guess, that they unleashed out of the Soul Stone, Devondra. Back to comics still, Death of Inhumans. We talked a little about that, you know, the Inhumans, the Kree are coming back to erase or stop their experiment. The Inhumans were, you know, made by the Kree. It was kind of their experiment, and then they abandoned it, and the Inhumans became what they are now. Now they have this super Inhuman called Vox that they're using to come around and just wipe them all out. They've already killed two prominent members of the Royal Inhumans family, Black Bolt's brother Maximus, and this is the one that hurts, Lockjaw. They killed Lockjaw, and everybody was hoping, you know, he's a teleporting dog, that maybe he just uses teleportation skill to get away from them, and he wasn't actually dead. But looking at the covers for Death of Inhumans number 5, it looks pretty apparent Lockjaw's done. You have Black Bolt grieving over Lockjaw laying there on the floor dead on one. And the other, he's standing in front of the grave of Lockjaw with the headstone there. So, yeah, everybody's favorite Inhuman, Lockjaw. Apparently, he is really, really dead. Nobody cared about Maximus. But Lockjaw, for now at least, until they bring him back somehow, some way, is dead. Okay, Captain Marvel is, you know, her movie's coming out in 2019, before the second part of the Infinity War movie comes out. They are going to have a comic book prelude, kind of showing you what her origins were and how she came about in the MCU before her solo movie comes out. It is supposedly spinning out of her origin into the Infinity War movie. So we're going to see how, you know, Nick Fury and Maria Hill actually discovered her, I guess, and brought her into the fold, and you know, how she got her powers probably, and what she's going to do with those powers. So that's going to be a 32-page one-shot prelude, because the preludes are usually one or two issues. This one's a one. Rated T for teen, so anybody can read it. It's going to come out before the movie. I don't see a date for the comic. The movie comes out March 8th, 2019, so the comic's got to come out before then. Look for it probably toward the end of this year. Zazie Beetz. Does that name sound familiar? It should. She played Domino in Deadpool 2. She is going to be in a new movie about a werewolf hunt, and it's called Slice. So what happens is this small town, she's a werewolf hunter, and for some reason, the pizza delivery boys keep getting murdered. Yeah, and I mean, it's very apparent that some kind of big thing is slicing them up. Come to find out, the pizza parlor was built on a gateway to hell, right on top of a gateway to hell. So I guess that's why the werewolves are around in the town. It's also going to have Chance the Rapper and Hannibal Buress. So it's probably going to be a little comedy. Hannibal Buress, most of the time, they bring him in for comedy. So I'm guessing it's going to have a little comedy aspect to it also. It's going to be in theaters sometime before the end of this year. I kind of like werewolf movies, so I'll probably go and watch this. Pizza parlor on top of a gateway to hell. Sounds good to me. So go watch Zazie Beetz and Chance the Rapper and Hannibal Buress in Slice. Valiant Comics fans, bad news. Quantum and Woody, they're ending their run in November. I don't know why. They're a great team. I love the comic. It's got a lot of humor in it. I love Vincent Van Gogh. Valiant just can't get any traction for some reason. I hope that changes with the Bloodshot movie and the other Sony Valiant movies that are going to follow on from that. But as it stands now, issue 12 of Quantum and Woody on November 21st will be the last Quantum and Woody off of this volume. They are talking about bringing them back in Unity, which is a team-up type comic book. So hopefully they get the Unity team back together and we'll see more Quantum and Woody. We announced last week or so about Brent Spiner going to be on Supergirl as the vice president. Nah, not anymore. He had to back out, it says, for family reasons. scheduling conflicts. So they have picked somebody else to be the vice president, another sci-fi type related guy, Bruce Boxleitner. We don't have a name for that vice president yet, just the fact that he is going to be a vice president in the show. And Brent Spiner's out, Bruce Boxleitner is in. I'm okay with that, and let's go on. Okay, Infinity Wars. This is kind of a tongue-in-cheek deal here. They are making character mashups. It's called Infinity Warps with a P. They're like mashing two characters into one. It's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek. It's going to be just for fun. It's not canon. Don't get upset. It's just for, if you're not into that, don't buy it. Sometimes those are pretty funny though, so I'm probably going to pick it up and read it. They're doing, like I said, the 2-in-1 heroes, like you've never seen them before. You're going to see, wow, they're some of these that they're mixing up, like the Green Widow. It's going to be She-Hulk and, of course, Black Widow. So you're getting Green Widow. You're getting Mr. Invisible and Hot Rocks instead of Fantastic Four. They're going to be terrific too. You're going to get Moon Squirrel and Tippy Sore. Okay, yeah, like I said, it's nothing serious. It's just a two-issue miniseries. Just kind of, having fun with some of these characters, mashing them up. Kids will probably love it. If I know a lot of adults will love it. Infinity Warps, number one, is going to be a two-issue miniseries from Marvel. That is all the nerdy news I have for you today. As I'm Troy Stegner with Talk Nerdy to Me. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Like this video. Leave a comment on this video. Tell me that I'm dumb and I'm wrong. I don't care because most of the time that's true. If you don't like the video, you can get us on talknerdypodcast.com or you can go over to iTunes and subscribe to us there and leave us a good rating and review. I will see all you guys tomorrow. Later, nerds.